This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Kind of upbeat, but not upbeat.
Now, I sort of saw that as like Mike Giardi's luchador entrance music.
Oh, speaking of Mike Giardi, he's joining us on the phones here on WEEI Afternoons, and that means the best open for a phone hit in the radio biz.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, joining us. Sorry, Michael, that we had to temporarily bump you from Friday, your usual slot, due to the Brad Marchand trade. But all hell is breaking loose in the National Football League, so it's a great day to have you. Just give me, I guess, your AI, what do they call that? The AI summary at the top of a page now. Give me your
TLDR.
Give me your AI summary of what the hell's been going on with the Patriots. A lot of moves on the defensive side of the ball, which seems to make that side of the ball better, but also Drake May seems to not have a whole hell of a lot more support, and we thought that might be coming.
I mean, not bad, really, when you consider the way the day started. And even before this, you know, like the last week or so, and in particular yesterday, when every freaking name seemed to be flying off the board. He's like, oh, there goes another. And that, they like, oh, no, he's not going to be there. And you're like, this is what happens now. As I tried to warn you guys in terms of like the free agency thing. It's just not what it used to be. And so many of these guys end up not getting here. And teams have money now, or they have better ideas of how to work their cap and use void years and all those sorts of things. But to be able to rebound from what appeared to be Milt Williams signing with Carolina and to be able to steal him back, I think was massive. Because I like Spillane, I like Carlton Davis. I have some questions about Harold Landry, but like all of a sudden you put Milton Williams in that group, and that was one of the guys that was at the very top of their board, like gotta have him, and they got him, and to do it the way they did it, I think was huge. I think it just sends a message to the guys on the team. I think it sends a message to the fan base. Like, we told you we're going to be aggressive, and we're doing that. We're trying to fulfill the promise that we made to you, and it actually, you know, in this case especially, it worked out.
So, Mike, I know you were in on and had been talking up the Chris Godwin to New England angle for a while, exactly how much it may cost, what the expectations should be. You know, it doesn't surprise me that they went defense or prioritized defense first, because I feel like between those two kind of shallow wells in this free agency offseason, that was where the better talent was. But Godwin looked to be their offensive prize, and he stays in Tampa. Do you know exactly how much the Patriots offered or how badly they tried to get him to leave Tampa for Foxborough?
I don't know what the offer was. I do believe they were willing to go higher than that. And this is, again, the problem. Like, it's like, oh, well, he did kind of get out there. I mean, yeah, there are back room and back channeling and all those sorts of things. But the guy is comfortable in Tampa. He likes playing with Baker. He likes playing for Todd Bowles. You know, he likes playing alongside Mike Evans. He's familiar with the medical staff who, you know, obviously playing a big role in his recovery for a second time in 4 years. So, you know, that was always going to be the hard part of this. He liked Tampa. So, you know, something was going to have to go really wrong there for him to actually be out there and shopping himself to the full extent. So I just think it was going to be a difficult thing. You know, they can signal how much they want him and what they're willing to pay him, but I think he's really comfortable there in Tampa, and I think that really is why you're seeing the reports of from whoever he's taking $20 million less to stay there.
Mike, a two-part John Dennis-style question here for me. In response to what I think are the two best signings, and that's Milton Williams and Carlton Davis, really good players. The Robert Spillane would be the second one. Milton Williams, does that say anything about Christian Barmore? Do they envision a two-headed beast on the inside, or are they worried they're not going to have Christian Barmore? And then for Robert Spillane, does that mean anything for Juwan Bentley? Is there a chance he's not a Patriot for very long?
I think they'll start with the latter one first. I think there's a clear change in direction we've talked about in terms of like being four down front, being a more penetrating one-gap team versus the two-gap that, you know, we've been familiar with for the last 20-something years and drove guys like Richard Seymour absolutely bananas. You know, like, can you just let me go get the quarterback? Obviously, it worked. They won rings. But that sort of signals that change. And if you look at Vrabel's past history, you know, David Long is a guy that I'll bring up all the time. He's 5'10", 220. Played in the middle of that defense. Like, he wants speed. He wants sideline to sideline. Spillane is that. You know, like, I think Jamin Sherwood was ahead of Spillane on their wish list. But when Sherwood stayed in New York yesterday, you know, before he even got to free agency again, this was the obvious pivot. And it's a good pivot. He's a good football player. And past history, you know, Vrabel signed him in Tennessee. So that's where he started his career. And he played under Josh McDaniels for a year in Vegas. So they definitely have plenty of familiarity and know what kind of kid he is. And by all accounts, and I think Brian Hoyer retweeted what I had tweeted out about Spillane. It was like one of my favorite teammates. Like, just the dude plays with his hair on fire, and he's been healthy the last 2 years. 158 tackles, 148. Like, that's some elite production from there. So I do think that, you know, unless they want to kick Bentley to a, you know, strong side linebacker type, that could very well be, you know, a sign of things to come for him or Jelani Tavai or both. And then in terms of Williams, look, I don't – and I think they signaled it again at the Combine. Like, I don't think they know about Barmore. Like, he's working out. Okay, good. He hadn't played football yet, you know, and – the blood clot thing was unexpected, obviously, and there was no real way to – you couldn't make up for the loss of a guy that you just signed to a massive contract extension last year because it happened, you know, end of July, beginning of August. Get him back for four games and then for him to have it again. Like, yeah, I think it's a – I think that's a massive question. I don't know that you can definitively say write his name in pen. Like, that's – I don't know that you can do that. But I don't think Milton Williams – I think Milton Williams still was on their board regardless. Because, again, to the point of, I think coming out of the combine, most people thought that he was actually the best player in this class. Like, you know, in terms of the potential upside, the age, the whole thing, like, he's going to be the guy that's going to get paid. And if he continues on his career track, you're going to get a Pro Bowl caliber player there. So I think he was always a part of what they wanted to do. But now it does give them extra insurance, if you will. You know, last year you had to play Akinwole 60% of the snaps, and Eric Johnson and Roy and all these guys, like, you know, they were signing off the street. And now, you know, can have a better plan. I'm sure they'll probably take one in the draft at some point as well, because it's such a good class for defensive line. So you give yourself a little bit more options there and the ability to sort of protect yourself in case, you know, something happens with Barmore.
Jaquelin Roy, there's a name I have not heard in some time. Yeah, those are some of those guys that were the rotational pieces used out of desperation last year on the line, Mike. You know,
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
My big concern is good first day in defense, obviously not enough offense. How do you think they handle the offensive line going forward? There's some talent left at guard. There's nothing left at offensive tackle. And, you know, if we spend five more minutes arguing over the length of Will Campbell's arms or his wingspan on here, somebody's going to slap a lawsuit on us here at the station. So look, it's unbelievable. So looking at all that, how would you expect the Patriots to tackle offense and offensive line the rest of this free agency, and how that could affect their draft plans?
Well, I mean, you're seeing the wide receiver prices are stupid. You know, Diami Brown just signed for, I think, 1 year, $12 million. So I'm thinking if I'm Slayton, my price is probably $15 or $16 million a year now. Like, you know, Palmer signed for 3 and 36 in Buffalo. I didn't see the guaranteed numbers, but again, that's a pretty healthy chunk of change. So that price went up a little bit over there. The question is, you know, how do you feel about Tet? Would you want Tet at 4? Would you want to try to trade back and get Tet? Do you feel comfortable with some of the other options in the draft? You know, Steph Diggs is out there, but again, that's a half year thing because he had the knee surgery in October, I think. Brandon Ayuk, I think, would be a conversation to revisit. Same situation, though. You know, he got hurt in late October, so, you know, he'll be probably back before the start of October. But when's he got back to being, you know, one of the most dynamic route runners in the NFL? Is that next year, or are you doing that for a year later? So it's not going to be easy with regard to wide receiver. It's not going to be easy with regard to tackle. But at least the way I look at it now is, depending on what happens at center with David Andrews, I mean, you know, there's some internet rumblings. And of course, when we came out of the combine, it was one of the things, the conversations that we had was like, oh, they seem to be in the market for a center. But if they can stabilize that from right tackle through left guard, and then you're only having to worry about one position on the offensive line versus three, sometimes four last year, like, it's not perfect, but Josh can work around that a hell of a lot better than Alex would be able to work around the debacle that was last year when, you know, DeMontre Jacobs, poor kid's having to play 15 games as a starting right tackle and had no business doing that. Ben Brown signed off the street. You know, your revolving door at left guard. Michael Jordan, you know, starts over here for all those games and then ends up getting cut. Like, they can't live that way. If you have more stability there, I think it just makes it much easier to sort of craft an offense.
Mike, I don't know if you heard, but our own Greg Hill this morning reported that his sources tell him that if Travis Hunter's there at 4, the Patriots would pounce. And I know there's some people reacting to the Carlton Davis signing like, oh, does that affect that? Do they see Travis Hunter as a wide receiver? Is he a number one wide receiver? Any thoughts on what they've done today and maybe how that would impact the way they view Travis Hunter?
I mean, I think you signed Carlton Davis, he's not a nickel corner. So unless you wanted to play Travis Hunter inside, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, it would seem that were Greg correct with his information, and I'm not doubting it by any stretch of the imagination, then it would seem to me that they'd view him as a wide receiver. And look, you talk to a lot of people in Indy who were like, he's the number one wide receiver on the board, you know, higher than Ted, higher than some of these other guys. And considering the fact that he hasn't actually been coached to play wide receiver, you know, he spent most of his practice time on defense, you know, meetings in defensive rooms. He just didn't have the time. And they would just tell him what to do when he got out of the field on offense. Like, that's pretty appealing because his ball skills are phenomenal. You know, he's a 4-4-ish guy, like, great body control. Like, what could he be in a year or two, you know, with some real coaching, with that sort of athleticism? So if that's the case, I mean, that would be appealing for sure.
He is Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Appreciate you joining us on a Monday. Usually you're our Friday afternoon guest. And let you get back to your writing. I'm sure Greg is whipping you a little bit, telling you to get more blogs up, more analysis up. So I'll let you get back to it, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you know, I stepped outside for the first time all day today, so I just saw the sunlight. It's a beautiful day. It's not a great day to be inside, you know, glued to your phone and your TV and all that stuff. But
get that fresh air for you, Giardi.
This is the business we have chosen, Michael. You know that.
So true.
See you, Mike.
See you, Mike.
See you, guys.
That was Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, back here on WEEI Afternoons. When up next, we're going to break down a couple of the little nuggets that Mike Giardi dropped for us as we all continue to parse our way through Patriots free agent signings. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.